Today's reading, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, can I add my welcome to Mark's if you've joined us since the start of the service? Titus, thank you so much for reading. Well, have you ever run or been tempted to run a marathon? Well, if you have, congratulations. The closest I've ever got is entering the ballot for the London Marathon and having been mightily relieved when I didn't actually get a place. By that point, it all seemed too hard. The hours of training, the fear of getting injured, the worry about hitting the wall in the middle of the race. But come April, when I watch around 50,000 people running around London, I'm always slightly jealous. The crowds and the atmosphere are amazing. And I can only imagine that feeling of pride when you run down the mall and cross the finish line. I'd be wearing that finisher's medal very proudly. You'd all know it. And the first three verses of Hebrews 12 picture the Christian life like running a marathon. It's not a sprint, but a long distance race. It's not a walk, but a run. It involves energy and perseverance. It requires training, discipline, and endurance to reach the finish and to cross the line. But whilst each of us has a marathon to complete, we're not all running the same course. In fact, we have our own unique race marked out for us. First one. Whilst our course might be like the London Marathon, quite flat, with some tricky cobbles in places and some deserted spots where the crowds thin out, it could also be like the Athens Marathon, very, very hilly. Or perhaps the Marathon du Sable in the Sahara Desert, grueling with relentless heat throughout. We don't exactly know what our race will look like. Perhaps it will entail poverty, riches, job loss, sickness, bereavement, humiliation. But we do know that we want to finish it well. And to help us to do this, our writer sets out three things that we need: supportive crowds, freedom from anything that weighs us down, and keeping the finish line in sight. So firstly, supportive crowds. Verse 1a starts with the supporters. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the crowd is full of all the Old Testament believers of Hebrews 11 who ran by faith, including, as we saw last week, Abraham, who was willing to make the costliest sacrifice, as well as Moses, who gave up greatness to be disgraced for Christ, alongside Abel, Enoch, Noah, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Rahab, and so many more others who have all finish the race. But in contrast to your average stadium crowd, they aren't there to watch us. Instead, they're there so we can watch them as we run. They're witnesses giving testimony to what the life of faith looks like. And this means that we can look back to them when we need encouragement and strength to keep going. My family recently went on a tour of the All England Club, and when you walk out onto Centre Court at Wimbledon, you walk past the Honours Board, which lists all the greats who've been victorious, including Martina Navratilova, 9-time singles champion, Federer, 8 times, Steffi Graf, Serena Williams, Novak Djokovic, and Pete Sampras, all 7 times champions. And of course, our very own Andy Murray, 2 times champion. When the players are preparing to go on court, it must be such a huge motivator to look up at that honours board as they think about doing the same thing. If Steffi did it, so can I. If Andy never stops chasing down those balls, I won't give up either. And the difference between a tennis tournament and the Christian race is that we don't need to win. It's literally about crossing the line. And the honours board includes everyone who finishes. Flawed, imperfect people who trust Christ to the end. All the ancients are cheering us on, saying, "We finished by faith, so can you. Keep going. You can do it." And that leads us to the second thing we need: freedom from anything that weighs us down. Verse 1b, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." As runners, we need to free ourselves from anything that will hinder our progress. It's very obvious, but the more weight we carry, the harder it is to run. In 2023, Sam Hammond, a Royal Marine, set a new world record for the London Marathon for completing it with a fridge on his back. He finished in just under 5 hours. An incredible feat, slightly mad, but he was doing it for charity. But there's no doubt that his run would have been easier and quicker if he hadn't been carrying the fridge. And metaphorically speaking, some of us are trying to complete the Christian race with a fridge on our back. And whilst carrying a fridge is not morally wrong, it will most definitely stall our progress. The implication here is that we should throw off anything that slows us down. And there are so many things that can fall into this category, and they will be different for each one of us. It could be social media, television, or even a good book that is dulling our appetite for God's word. It could be our work. We can get so busy, even with good things like serving or seeking to improve the country, that God can end up on the back burner. We can even be dragged down by friends, family, or colleagues whose approval we care about too much. And whilst we might not cut them out, we might need to cut down how much time we spend together. It could even be our thought patterns, self-pity, disappointment, or even bitterness that can weigh us down. Perhaps it's past guilt, which can sometimes feel like a millstone around our necks. I've been recently praying through Psalm 103, and I found it so helpful to remember that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. If we confess past sin, it really has been dealt with. I can really put it down and leave it at the foot of the cross, as Christ has paid it all. It may be something else entirely, but it's worth asking yourself, are you trying to run the Christian race with a fridge on your back? But sometimes it's sin that so easily entangles us. It can trip us up time and time again. It ties us up in knots and can feel so difficult to escape from. As one writer I read put it, "Entangling sin is like a boa constrictor. Tickling a python won't get rid of it. More radical action is required." We need to be proactive in seeking to cast off sin regularly. It's not fashionable, but we need to repent and to turn away from it, asking God to help us to fight it. And in doing this, we need to recognise that Christ is so much better. The quickest way to not finish the race is to allow sin to fester and to go unrepented. Let's get aggressive with it and treat it like a deadly snake. Whilst carrying a fridge is a hindrance, a snake can kill us if we don't kill it first. And thirdly, we need to keep the finish line in sight. One of the classic rules of running is that you don't look at the runners alongside you. You keep looking ahead. Roger Bannister was the first man in the world to run a mile in under 4 minutes in May 1954. And then the next month, Australian John Landy broke his record by 1.4 seconds. In August 1954, the two men came head-to-head for a historic race in Vancouver. And as they were nearing the last lap, Landy was ahead, and it looked certain that he was going to win. But as he neared the finish, he allowed his mind to wander for a second. And unable to take the strain, he finally looked back over his shoulder. And as he did so, his stride faltered, and Bannister passed him to break the red tape. We too have a finishing line, and when we run, we need to keep looking to Jesus, verse 2. We need to fix our eyes on him. I was reading in an article in the paper the other day about Ukraine's elite female snipers. What seems to set them apart is their ability to remain focused, never taking their eyes off the target, never allowing their concentration to flicker for a moment. And we need to have a similar, single-minded, laser-like focus on Jesus. And Jesus is not an ordinary hero or soldier of the faith. He is a pioneer of our faith, verse 2. Jesus was the trailblazer, carving out the course so that we could follow in his tracks. He's also the perfecter of our faith. Jesus lived a perfect life of faith, fully obedient to God's word, even to the point of death on the cross. It's as if Jesus took our marathon number and ran the race in our place. And not only that, he ran the perfect race as our representative, qualifying us not for the Olympics, but far better, for heaven, for eternity. And having completed the race, he is now our coach and trainer, showing us how to run and to keep running. As we study the Bible, we can listen to him and watch his life in slow-mo. We can rewind and rewatch as we review his behaviours, tactics, and technique. And as we consider him, we will learn to delight in him. And whilst many human coaches wrongly want to be worshipped and adored, it's absolutely right and fitting for us to want to worship Jesus, as he really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there are a number of things that we can learn from Jesus' race. Firstly, he was running for a purpose, for the joy set before him, verse 2. He was looking beyond the cross to what it would achieve. He was holding on to God's wonderful promise of glory. He was running for you and me, the joy of having us with him as his people forever. Incredibly, he was running to save us. And whilst his run was hard and testing, Jesus was able to experience joy on the route too. And that's true for us too. The Christian life may feel so very painful at times, but even in the midst of deep struggle, wonderfully, we can still experience great joy. And secondly, Jesus ran with great endurance. He endured both the pain and the shame of the cross. Jesus really understood shame. His death was humiliating. He was treated as a common criminal. He was despised, derided, and mocked. He even experienced being cut off from his Father in heaven. But he endured it for us and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where he is now reigning in glorious majesty and splendor. He was crowned the worthy winner and has received his right reward. And for us, that reward is Jesus himself. He is our crown. When we reach the finish line, we get to enjoy him and spend time in his presence forever. And looking ahead to that reward is the only way to run the race. If we fix our eyes on him, the stitch in the side and the sore muscles along the way will be less severe. We will be able to keep on running until we cross the line. Our passage finishes by telling us to consider him so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted, verse 3. So let's keep doing that this week. Let's ponder him and think about him. Like all good athletes, let's visualize the prize of eternity with Christ. Let's keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, like the supportive crowd before us. Let's throw off the fridge and boa constrictor and everything that weighs us down. And let's keep running until we cross that line and receive that finisher's medal that can never be taken away. And if you're here today and you haven't yet started running the Christian race, why not start today? Don't flip-flop like me with the London Marathon. The Christian race really is the best race ever, with the best prize for all eternity. So knowing this, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's pray together. Thank you for this wonderful passage from Hebrews 12. And please help each one of us to keep running the race that you've uniquely given us. And for any here weighing up whether to start, please give them the assurance that they need today to enter this race. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.